We ended off last time discussing the various cases that the Amoraim had where they allowed tefillah by Yom HaShmini in situations of onus. And we noted that despite the citation of the Chamudei Daniel and the Pesach Tshuva, that the dispensation to go to mikvah by Yom HaShmini in the case of onus only applies to a communal onus, not to a personal onus. The Lashon HaRambam is clear, the Rambam includes chola on the list of onsim, and that seems to be the general approach of most contemporary poskim, most of the later poskim, to allow tefillah by Yom HaShmini, even in situations of personal onus. There's a tshuva in the Netziv, the Meshav Dabar, Chele Bei Simen Mem Dalid, in which the Netziv was asked about the following situation. The Shaila to him, which is presented by another Rav, is in Simen, reprinted in the Meshav Dabar, Simen Mem Gimel, and the Netziv response is in Simen Mem Dalid. He was asked about a woman who had left observance, wasn't currently observed in the Taras HaMishpacha, and she was in the process of coming back to the extent that she would be willing to go to the mikvah by Yom HaShmini, but she was unwilling to go by Laila because she found it an uncomfortable situation. There are other people there. She was embarrassed. And she wasn't prepared to go to the mikvah by Laila, but she was prepared to go to the mikvah by Yom HaShmini. So the Shoel to the Netziv assumed that this kind of situation is no worse than a situation of onus. We're saving her from an avera chamura by allowing this, and the Netziv himself isn't so convinced how to balance that notion of saving an individual from an avera where she's unwilling to conform with takanos chaval, and halitei rasha v'yamos. The Netziv is unwilling to take a firm stance l'kula in the end. He thinks that this requires further analysis and weighing in of other gedolei ha-poskim. What about allowing tefillah by Yom HaShmini in a situation in which there might be a certain degree of publicity, a lack of tznius, if a woman were to go to the mikvah bizmana at night? So the Rama already tells us that there is a notion of being master leal tefillasim. The Rama, in the very end of Simen Kuf Sadiches, if Mem Ches, the Rama writes, Yesha Kosvu, Sheyesh Leisha Leos Tsnua Beleal Tefillas. A woman should act with tznius on the leal tefila, and she shouldn't publicize the fact that she's going to the mikvah. The Chaynogu Anashim Lehaskir Leal Tefillasim, that they should do it quietly. Shilalelet, b'muhuma, b'fnei abrios, she shouldn't walk to the mikveh in a public or loud fashion. Shilayargishu b'em, and the other people shouldn't be aware that she's going to the mikveh. V'misha eina osake ne'amar leha arur shafeit in behima. Fine. So there is a notion of being master of el-tfilasa, of not publicizing the fact and not letting other people know that a woman's going to the mikveh. There's a shuvah sarama in Simen Yotes, which the Sidrei Tara makes reference to in Sifkat and Yudalit here. Sidrei Tara is in Sifkat and Yudalit. Tshuva Sarama is in Simen Yotes and the Tshuva Sarama. So the Ramah is talking about a case where on the way to the mikveh, it sounds like a bungalow colony. You have to pass through all the women that are sitting and schmoozing on the street. Shemayach shemakom dafuk lahem, it's squished. V'chol Yisrael asher l'sham yoshim b'gorin agula kasher shematayfu, and everyone's sitting around in a circle. Yefshel inosel shebizman shebenos Yisrael yosas l'tvilasam kolay nayim sofas behem. So a woman's going to be walking to the mikvah and everyone's going to be looking at her. V'yichol sas niyas tvilasam, that's a lack of snias, that everyone knows where she's going. So the Rama talks about this in the context of doing chafifa b'layla, as we'll discuss probably next time. The minhag of doing chafifa b'yom and segueing from the yom into the layla in the chafifa process. So even though that's a lechachila, the Rama says if you're able to avoid this breach of tznius by doing the chafifa b'layla, then that is preferable to fulfilling the otherwise important minhag of starting the chafifa bayom. But the Sidrei Tara extends this to allow for considering a lack of tznius as a sufficient ones to be matir tefillah bayom hashmini. A woman is concerned that she's going to go to the mikvah on Leil Shvi, the whole town's going to know about it, So the Sfidri Tara writes, that would be sufficient reason to allow the women to go to the mikvah by Yom HaShmini. Rav Avadya writes, Taras Abayis, page Tafsari Dalit, volume 2, page Tafsari Dalit. Rav Avadya allows, if a woman has older children at home, and it's impossible to cover up the fact that you're going to the mikvah, or she has Shcheinot Sakraniyot, curious and Yentish neighbors, who will inevitably find out that she's going to the mikvah, so then she's allowed to go by Yom HaShmini. And he writes on page Tafsari Hey that that was the minhag in Yerushalayim, Midori Doros, that woman would go to the mikvah by Yom HaShmini to avoid violations of Tznius at night. Rabbi Willi points out that all made sense in earlier generations when women would never go outside at night. So if a woman's going outside at night, there's only one place she possibly could be going, and that's a violation of Tznius. But nowadays, women drive, women go plenty of places at night on a regular basis, so it's not such a milsa d'tmi if a woman's going out at night. So in most situations, the fact that the woman's going out at night, even if their children are at home, even if they're curious neighbors, there's no way that the curious neighbors who see the woman going into her car at 7 o'clock at night are going to assume that she's going to the mikvah. You know, there are plenty of ways of covering up the fact that a woman's going to the mikvah, and everyone has to figure out what works. Rav Vosner comments, Chelek Hei Simen Kuf Yuches Os Beis, Chelek Hei Simen Kuf Yuches Os Beis, we mentioned this earlier, the Tshuvas Yehudi Yala, who allowed for delaying tefillah to Leil Shabbos in the case of the storekeeper, who was worried that if she would close her store at night, then Evan would realize she's closing the store, but she's going to the mikvah, and that would be a violation of Tznius. So Rav Vosner writes, that's talking about a case where the whole town's going to know that she's going to the mikvah. It's the only store open, she closes at night, so Evan's going to realize she's going to the mikvah. But if it's a few people that are going to realize that she's going to the mikvah, that's not such a piersum. So you should avoid the situation to the extent possible, but that's not considered a sufficient reason to change around the Seder Hayom. So he writes that not uncommon that you have a young couple going to visit the parents or the in-laws on Shabbos, Leil Tefillah is Friday night, and the wife wants to delay Leil Tefillah because she's worried that if she goes out to the mikvah, then someone in the family is going to realize where she's going. So Rav Vosner says he doesn't think that's appropriate to delay Leil Tefillah. You should do whatever you can to be matznia the fact and try to cover up. But the bottom line, push comes to shove, even if someone's going to get wind of the fact that you're going to the mikvah, that's not enough reason to push off Leil Tefillah, especially, he writes, if the couple hasn't yet been mekayim. True review. Yeah.
Let's say the woman's not necessarily embarrassed to see about a group of people, specifically her parents, that now they're going to think, she's very subconscious about knowing, that she's going to have, let's say, attachments that night, so therefore she wants to conceal to, everyone. She's very meticulous about something like that.
Right, so that's what Rav Vosner says, that you should do the best. You can always usually figure out a way out to be creative, so people shouldn't realize. But he doesn't think that's a reason to push off Leil Tefillah. Push off the job if she's unwilling to do it, and you can't force someone. But you should. Rav Vosner doesn't think that that's a sufficient reason to push off Leil Tefillah, and you try to concoct the best story that you can as to what's going on. I saw the Rabbi Morgenstern quotes from Rav Yashiv, Volume 1, page Reish Pei Hei. Rav Yashiv held that even if one person realizes that you're going to the mikvah, that's a lack of tznius against Rav Vosner. Ad kedekach, that you should delay tefillah, even if it's going to be a number of days that you have to delay the tefillah, even if the only person that's going to figure out that you're going to the mikvah is your mother. And he writes that there are college teachers that tell their students that you should make as best effort as possible to always go to the mikvah Leil Tefillah, even if other people are going to realize that you're going to the mikvah. He writes, the toast of the Adam, that's incorrect. That seems pretty extreme. I was just talking to Rabbi Willig about this. He agreed that he hadn't seen that citation in Rabbi Morgenstern's Sefer. He thought that was surprising as well. If a woman's going to the mikvah, so at least she's going to see the mikvah attendant at the mikvah. So one person already knows she's going to the mikvah. And it's not at all unlikely that she's going to bump into at least another woman, if not two women, in the mikvah as well. So you could easily have two or three people who know that she's going to the mikvah. So you're ready to start. Because of Rav Eliashiv, if it's a chisam and it doesn't make a difference if one person knows, it doesn't make a difference if 100 people know. But it's inevitable that someone in the mikvah is going to know. You need to have at least one woman there. Probably a couple people are going to know. So then if your mother knows also, that tips the scale. I don't understand the position. Yeah.
But all those people that Rebbe mentioned are all going to have a davar, meaning they're not going to spill the secret. They're not going to tell anybody.
The issue is in spilling the secret. The mother's not going to spill the secret either. She's not gonna, we're not talking about it would be a violation of tznius to say, I'm going to the mikvah. Right? Don't ask, don't tell. I'm not telling anyone, and you might suspect, but no one's going to talk about it.
Right,
so where's the...
No one's going to talk about it. I mean, it's only an issue with sneeze when somebody that's not my gavid over it. Someone's outside, someone that's just sitting in the street that watches.
Right, and if your mother knows, she's not going to say anything either.
But a person...
Right? No one's going to say anything. No one's going to say anything. Okay. I'm not... I'm just saying I don't fully understand the sheep. When we were learning the Slimut 2 years ago, Yishol Apfel was in the Chabura, and he showed me a Shaila that I think that he got from Rabbi Arya Leibowitz, who I think might have sent it himself to Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. The Shaila is as follows. A woman anticipates that she's going to be spending Shabbos at family by her parents with other family members there, and the night that's going to be Le'el Tefillah. And it's going to be difficult or impossible to go to the mikveh in a way that people aren't going to realize. So, HaChacham, or HaChama, Eina B'Rosho. So, can she forego day 5 of the Ramos Chumrah for Paletha Shefazera to enable her to start her Shiva Nekiyah 1 day early, in the case that would be possible, so that she'll be able to rig the system so that Le'el Tefillah is going to be Thursday night instead of Friday night, and she won't be in this uncomfortable situation of having to go to the mikveh when at her parents' house. That was the Shaila asked to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, who responded as follows, 3 points. Number one, you're not allowed to dispense with that 5th day of Paletha Shefazera in this case. Okay, so what do you do? He says the best etza is to tell the parents that the doctor told her she shouldn't be going away for Shabbos because of some minor issue that you don't have to worry about. And it's not a lie because the Rambam was a doctor. And the Rambam recommends that she shouldn't go to her parents at Shabbos. I'm not sure what Rambam he refers to. I don't think the Rambam has this notion of sneeze by Le'el Tefillah yet, okay? The Rambam recommends, the Rambam's a doctor too. Or give any other explanation why you can't come for Shabbos, v'sharei terusim lo ninolu. There's no end to the possible excuses you could give. And then he quotes a story that there was once an Avreich and his wife who were invited for a Shabbos with their family to a kibbutz, and that night was going to be Le'el Tefillah. And the mikveh in HaKibbutz didn't meet all the standards of the mikvahs in Bnei Brak. So they went to ask Rav Shach what to do. On the one hand, they said if they don't go for Shabbos, the family's going to be offended. If they do go for Shabbos, so then they're going to be using a mikveh that's not mehudr. So Rav Shach said they should tell the family that the doctor recommended that they not go away for Shabbos. And so the family won't be offended that they think they don't trust their kashrus. They'll reschedule to come a few months later. So that's what happened. They said the doctor recommended we shouldn't go away for Shabbos. And then, she got pregnant. And 3 months later, when they went for Shabbos, she was already showing. And the family assumed that that must be the reason the doctor told her not to come. Let's choose in the early stages of pregnancy. and was having a hard time. Okay? But then he says that if you can't get out of going for Shabbos, then you should delay the tefillah till Motzei Shabbos. So I don't know if that's working with the Rav Yashiv standard, Yashiv's son-in-law, or there are more people that know better the ways presented in the Shiloh, be that as it may. Sidre Tara Sifkata Yud Gimel quotes based on the Bach. We noted previously that Rav Moshe is a very big makel. Rav Moshe understands Rabbi Natan this way and understands that this is lalach against the Shach. Rav Moshe was makel that under certain circumstances, if there's a tzorach, the women go to the mikvah, well, by Yom Hashvi, as long as she doesn't come home till after dark or Friday night, she comes home at lift bench where the husband's already out. Fine. That's not generally accepted by most poskim. What's more accepted is what the Sidre Torah writes. The Sidre Torah writes here in Sifkata and Yigimah, based on the Bach, under what circumstances can you be matur tefila by Yom Hashvi, where a woman's not going to be able to go to the mikvah the night of the 8th, or the 8th day, or the night of the 9th, or the 9th day. So she won't be able to go to the mikvah for 3 nights after the time that she should be able to go. She wouldn't be able to go Motzai day 7, Motzai day 8, Motzai day 9. The way the Bach says it is Ches Tetz V'Yoser, 8, 9, or more. So it's unclear in the Bach what the more is. But the way the Sidre Torah says it is that if she's not going to be able to go to the mikvah the night after day 7, the night after day 8, the night after day 9, nor in those subsequent days, then that's licensed to allow tefillah by Yom HaShvi as long as she only gets home after dark. Chachmas Adam writes this way as well. Chachmas Adam in Simen Kuf Yeches Oz Hei. Simen Kuf Yeches Oz Hei. That if it's impossible to go to the mikvah on day 8, day 9, or those nights, because of an ones, kagon, that it's the non-Jew's holiday, and either it's dangerous to go outside, or they won't let you go outside, whatever the case may be. So in that case, you're allowed to go to the mikvah by Yom HaShvi, as long as you're careful. Lahastir hatfila mibayla adalayla, that's based on the Sidre Torah, based on the Bach. Now, if she can't be master Mibaila in that case, Bali Yisholchan writes the Kot and Tzama Beis, that even according to these Makilim, even according to Sidre Torah, it's questionable whether you have the right to be Makil at all. Bali Yisholchan himself is Machmir against the Sidre Torah, that even if you can't go to the Mikvah for a few nights, you still wouldn't be able to go by Yom HaShvi. Come to you in a minute, Michael. Ravazna writes, Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Ayin Osei. Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Ayin Osei. He's asked about a couple that was going on a boat journey, and the boat was departing on day 7. There's no mikvah on the boat. And if they don't go to the mikvah by Yom HaShvi, they won't be able to go for a significant amount of time. So based on the Sidre Torah, Rav Osner is willing to be Mako, and he says, we assume against the Chamudi Daniel that even a personal onus is considered an onus. So in this case, he's willing to be Mako to allow for tefillah by Yom HaShvi, especially because you're worried that there's a chashash of Michshal if they're going to be going on a boat together for an extended time where she's unable to go to the mikvah. Rav Osner is Mako. Rabbi Willig's general orientation when it comes to these matters is like the Sidre Torah, only to allow tefillah by Yom HaShvi'i in a case where a woman is going to be unable to go to the mikvah for 3 nights. And let's say you have a 3-day Yontiv. Yontiv is on Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. And it's in a situation in which you can't go to the mikvah on Shabbos Yontiv, the mikvah is too far away. Or the woman has a medical condition that she can't walk to the mikvah. So if she doesn't go to the mikvah on Wednesday during the day, she won't be able to go Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and won't be able to go until Motzai Shabbos. So when I first heard Rabbi Willa give shir on Hilchos Nida about maybe 17 years ago, at that time, I think he said that in his rabbinic career, which current to that point was pushing 30 years, he had only been matir or women to go to the mikvah by Yom HaShvi twice. Since then, it might have happened again. But these are not frequent situations. I think some communities have an understanding that they would only allow this if you have the eskama of two rabbanim in town, or you have to have two people sign off on it, or at the very least, your rabbi sign off on it. And apparently there is a phenomena of people trying to pull a fast one and get a dispensation to do tefillah by Yom HaShvi sometimes, where the rabbanim won't allow it. So these are the standards. Yeah, Michael.
The rabbi quoted the rabbi Tom saying that if you miss the different
animals
do on the 8th and 9th day that you could do it on the
7th day? The Bach and the Siddur Tara. So doesn't the Tosafot quote the Rebbeinu Tam saying that if you do it on the 7th day, not include, not, he doesn't take into account the calculation, the 8th or 9th day. So according to the way the Torah understands Rebbeinu Tam, the way Rebbeinu Tam is quoted in most of Rishonim, he's talking about day 8 and not day 7. Moshe assumed that he's talking about day 7. That's where Moshe's school is based on, but most of those who call Rebbeinu Tam assume Rebbeinu Tam is only talking about day 8. Good. The Rama writes in the end of Sif Gimel over here, V'akalos hatovlos kodem achuppah yecholos lipo bayom. A kala goes to the mikvah before the chuppah, is allowed to go to the mikvah in the daytime. T'ha lo ban eitzel achasen adalaiwa. Because what's the reason that you can't go to the mikvah in the daytime? Shematir v'tistor. So Shematir v'tistor is a concern with this possibility that there might be tashmish before night. But here, that's not happening. Therefore, there shouldn't be a concern. Aval achar achopa dina kishar nasha. Once already married, so then there's no further dispensation for a kala. This Rama is based on a Maril. Maril is in Minhagim Nida Os Aleph. Minhagim Maril Nida Os Aleph. The Maril writes, the Amr Shagama Kalos She'enan Tahoros B'shas Achopa Lios Tovlinas. The Tovlin Achar Nisuin Gamkin Ein Roshan Lipo Rachba Lila Kishar Nashim. Amna. If they're going to the mikvah before they get married, there's no possibility of tashmish before night because the chuppah, the chasen, is going to be at night. So the Maril sounds like we're talking about a case where the tefillah is on day 7 and the chuppah is going to be at night. But in a chanami, if the chuppah is going to be in the daytime, then this heter of the Rambam, the Maril, wouldn't apply. It's only because the chuppah is going to be at night that there's no possibility of having tashmish bayom. But in a chanami, if the chuppah was bayom, then the kula wouldn't necessarily apply. But it does seem pretty clear in the context of the Maril, we're talking about tefillah bayom hashvi'i, which makes the Shach a little difficult to understand. The Shach in Sivkat and Tess assumes that the Heter of the Ramah here is only talking about Bayom Hashmini and not Bayom Hashvi'i. Torah Sashlam in Sivkat and Ches tries to explain that maybe the Shach is concerned that we're still gozer by Yom HaShvi'i of Shematir V'tistor, that maybe she will have tashmish during the day. The Dagel Mervava writes, and this is, I think, how we assume, Dagel Mervava commenting on the Shach here, Nirla Nisaiti Lahakil, to allow tefillah by Yom HaShvi'i, but only where the chuppah is going to be balayla. If the chuppah is going to be in the daytime, Sunday afternoon wedding, So then, even the Ramah wouldn't allow Tvila Bayom, based on the Maril. So Tvila Bayom for Kala on day 8, we allow Marvacha. Tvila on day 7, the Shach is Machmir. Dagal Marvacha, which I think is reflective of the way we baskin, that if it's necessary, meaning we generally try to calculate so that the tefillah is going to be by Yom HaShmini, you're not cutting it down, you're not taking it down to the wire, but Leis HaTzorech, as long as the chub is going to be at night, then tefillah could be done by Yom HaShmini. And now we move on to the sugya of Chafifa, which is Siman Kuf Tzadi Tes. Originally, I was planning on doing Chatzitza next, which is Siman Kuf Tzadi Tes, which topically fit better. Chatzitza is a much longer limud, and I wanted to have a better breaking point before you break for Chazara. And then I found an Amasla to justify switching it up in Rabbi Sobolovsky's book, where he has Chafifa before Chatzitza. So at least I'm not the first one to do this, and if that needs to be our justification. So we move on now to Chafifa, which presupposes that there's a notion of Chatzitza, and Chafifa is meant to avoid any problem of Chatzitza. So you don't know what a Chatzitza is yet, you'll have to believe me that there's such a thing, and then we'll go back and explore what a Chatzitza is after the next event. Okay, the Gemara tells us in Bava Kama, Hey Bezim and Aleph, where the Gemara has various takanos that were instituted by Ezra HaSofer. Excuse me, the Gemara writes, Shetei Isha Chofefes V'Tovelas. Now one of Ezra's takanos was that a woman should do chafifa prior to tevila. I haven't defined chafifa yet. Rara says, D'Raisa hi. What do you mean takanos Ezra? Isn't that requirement of chafifa din D'Raisa? D'Tanya, V'Rachas Es B'Saro B'Mayim, Shelo Tehei Dover Chotzeis, Bein B'Saro L'Mayim, Es B'Saro, Es Atafel B'Saro, Mani Yuseyar. So, don't you know that min ha-Torah there's a problem of chatzitza? The Gemara assumes that if min ha-Torah there's a problem of chatzitza, so the requirement of chatifa to avoid a chatzitza is itself min ha-Torah. Where it says, no. Amri da'araisa li'iyune dilma mikta. The chiv da'araisa is to check, to presumably visually check. Maybe there's a knot. Inami ma'uz midi mishum chatzitza, or maybe there's something that's attached to the body that could constitute a chatzitza. So in the Torah, we avoid the potential of a chatzitza by doing iyun. Iyun is sufficient. V'asa iyu tikein chafifa. And along came Ezra Sofer, and was mesakin that iyun isn't sufficient. You also require chafifa. So the Machlokas we showed him, what exactly is the Din D'Oraisa, and what was added with the requirement of Chafifa? What are the parameters of Chafifa relative to Iyun? So let's start with the Ritva. I didn't put the Ritva on the Marmar Kamos, my apologies. The Ritva, Samach Vav and Beis in the Sechas Nida. Dibur Maspil Nimsei Slamit. Ritva writes as follows. Mashma, de'iyune de'arminan mid'araisa, what the Gemara in Bava Kama says, that min ha-Torah you need iyun, haynu b'diga gredasa, that's simply a visual check, va'afilu shelo b'mayim, even without water, v'shelo b'mashrek, even without a comb, she need only rub her hair with her hand, without any wash or without any water. So min ha-Torah, the requirement of Iyun is to inspect and to rub the hair with your hand. The Ezra Tikein, Chafifa b'masrek, b'mayim chamim b'malkum seyar. And Ezra's Misakein, Chafifa, that includes A, a comb, B, hot water on the hair. That's what Rashi writes in Bava Kamma there. Rashi writes that Chafifa is b'masrek. Chafifa is with a comb. We'll have to come back to that. How dafka is that? And is that the definition of Chafifa? Is that critical Chafifa l'ikuva? So Rashi there in Bava Kamma notes the requirement of a masrek. That's what the Gemara says over here. Min haTorah iyun just means inspecting and rubbing with your hands. Takanas Ezra requires a comb. It requires hot water. Sam?
I'm a little confused where you put the comma. Is it comb, comma, hot water and hair, or comb and hot water by the hair?
Well, you don't need the hot water on the comb. So presume,
do you have to comb your entire body?
Like, no, so there's okay, so we'll talk about body versus hair in a moment. I'm not focusing on that point yet. That's a separate machlokas here. I'm not focusing on that. But the Ritva is only talking about the hair. So he's saying a comb, which is presumably only the hair, and hot water on the hair. So the Ritva in his first bout here is only talking about the hair. We'll come back to that globally as far as what the requirement is chafif is. And then he quotes the Ravid, who says something else. He quotes the Ravid Shar Ha Prisha, that even Iyun requires Rechitza. The Ravid says, even Iyun requires water. How do we know that? So the Gemara on Samach Vav, on the base, has the following din. First long line, second long line, Amar Rava, Tav lo vi also v'nimseis alev dal rechotzeis. If a woman goes to the mikvah, and then she finds a chatzitza after she comes out of the mikvah, im samach l'chafifa tav lo, if she went to the mikvah right after chafifa, ein otzricha lacha v'litbo, then she doesn't have to do chafifa and tefillah again. She has the right to assume that the chatzitza adhered to her body after the tefillah, because after all, she did a proper chafifa prior to tevila. Okay. So we're talking about a woman goes to the mikvah and then she finds the chatzitza. Where does she find the chatzitza? So Lashon HaGemara is Nimsa Aleha Davar Chotzeitz. So Nimsa Aleha sounds like it's on her body, not on her hair. So that's the case. If chafifa is only on the hair, then why do you even mention that she did chafifa? That's inconsequential. The fact that it says samuk chafifa tefila tavla means that there's some connection between the chafifa and the chatzitza that she finds. That if she did chafifa, that would obviously preclude the possibility of finding a chatzitza. So if chafifa was only on the hair, then that's of no relevance to the issue at hand. Elowat, it must be that iyun also involves water. And you're doing iyun at the same time as chafifa. The way the Ravid suggests is that iyun is even with cold water, and Tokanas Ezra is to require chamin b'makom seyar. So min haTorah, you need iyun b'chol haguf in cold water. Sorry, min haTorah, you need iyun, he assumes, b'chol haguf in cold water. And the Takanas Ezra is to require chafifa of hot water of the hair.
why does he think that the... Why can't tefillah include the entire body? You know, I'm not sure I got his proof. His proof, I think, would make sense if tefillah has specifically only the hair, so she had to paint her body in another step, which would have been Eon.
Right.
But where does he get that assumption from?
Where does he get the assumption that
tefillah is only cleaning the hair and not the body?
So I presume the reason that he's assuming that is for those Rishonim and Rov Rishonim that assume Chafifa is only on the hair. We'll talk about those Rayas in a few moments. Those are his Rayas. But the Lashon of Chafifa, if it means to rub, to get nuts out of, then those Lashonos may apply specifically to hair. And we'll see Tosa's Rayas from other Gemaras that indicate that it only applies to hair. That's where the starting point comes from. Then the Ritva takes issue with the Ravid's Raya. The bottom line is, according to the Ritva himself, Ian doesn't require hot water at all. According to the Ravid, Ian does require hot water. According to the Ritva, Ian doesn't require water at all. According to the Ravid, it requires water, albeit cold water. Okay, now what about that point of what does Chafifa cover? So that's a machlokas Rishonim. Tosos here in Samach Vav Amibes, Dibur Maskel Im Samach, quotes the Rabbeinu Shmaya, who quotes the position of Rashi, that Chafifa is b'chol aguf. Chafifa has to affect the entire body. What are his rayas? So number one, the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Kaf Amibes, the sugya there of a person who has Shem Hashem written on his body. So how does he go to the mikvah? There, according to some girsos, most girsos don't have this, but according to the girsa that Rabbeinu Shmaya had, the Gemara there has a lashon of lo yachuf. So if it's talking about lo yachuf for someone who has Shem Hashem written on his body, so clearly chafifa is relevant to the body, not just to the hair. And then he has a raya from the Gemara on Samach Chesamid Aleph. The Gemara there has an expression, Dodi Chasart, Tishdi Chasart, Adi Chasart. The mashmos there is that there is a certain significant amount of water that's required for Chatifa. You have to have your Eved hauling in all this water. So if it's only to be chof of your hair, how much water do you need? If it's to be chof of your whole body, so then you need a larger quantity of water. So that expression, do you have an Eved to bring the water for you, makes, to heat up the water, to bring the water, makes more sense. So those are the rayas of Rabbeinu Shmaya, B'Shem Rashi, that chafifa has to be b'chol haguf. However, Tosa then quotes Rabbeinu Tam, which is the position of Rov Rishonim, that chafifa is limited to seya. Now the way we've been in Tom's quote in Tosas Bava Kama, Pei Bezum and Aleph, Dibur Maskel V'Shetehei, the Tosas there, of course, Rabbeinu Tam is saying that chafifa is limited to hair on the head. According to most Rishonim, the Rabban, the Rashba, this had the Shachism in Sifkat and Aleph, chafifa is required of all the hair on the body, not just head hair. So, for example, Lashon HaRamban, both in the Chidushim here and in the Lachas, so we read it from the Lachas because it's shorter. The Lachas, Hilchas Nidah Ramban, Perites Sif Aleph, Din HaTorah Shetehei HaTavelas Ma'ayenes Ba'atma Samach L'Tfila. So the din d'oraisa of Ian requires that a woman examine herself, her entire body, prior to tefila for chatzitzos. The Ezra based dino tiknu shetehei isha chol fefes rosha v'chol sa'ar sheba b'mayim chamin. The kind of Ezra is that a woman needs to do chatzifa on her hair, on her head, and all other bodily hair. And that seems to be how we assume the halacha. The Shach writes in Sipkat and Beis, Haskamas haposkim ditakanas Ezra eno ela b'chatifa seyar. Elashenagu lahachmir lachof ulishtatif kolagof. But the minhag is to be machmir to wash the entire body. Lahachim mekilina mekame dvarim b'chatifa. So Ian is a din deraisa, chafif is takanas Ezra, and the minhag, even though the ikar din chafif is only on the hair, the minhag is to be machmir to wash the entire body. Now that may be connected to, or presumably is connected to another din of the Gemara, which is not chafifa, but is a corollary. The Gemara has in Samach Vav Amibayz the Amar Rava La'olam Yil Lamed Adam Misof Beso Shetei Isha Madicha Beis Kamata B'mayim. A woman should wash, should rinse all the folds in her body with water prior to Tevila. So that's not technically Chafifa. It could be Chafifa, technically speaking, is only on the hair. But there's another, Dinder Abanan, later than Takanas Ezra, this is from the Amoraim, that a woman should rinse all the crevices in her body. And then the minhag developed, as Rama says, to be chofef and wash the entire body. There's a Chuvas Maril, Maril Chuvas HaKadosha, Simen Sadi Gimel Sif Dalid, Simen Sadi Gimel Sif Dalid, who notes the minhag to wash in a gigis, I guess would be our bathtub prior to tefillah. He notes that some women were mezalzel in this minhag, and he doesn't approve of that, even though you shouldn't necessarily criticize them. But he says the appropriate thing is to be rochitz in a gigas or in a bati, in a bathtub, and that is the universal minhag olam to take a bath, to wash oneself in a bathtub prior to tevila, which may be, again, more than chafifa. You have midarais, the requirement of Ian. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. Then there's the requirement of chafifa, according to Rav Yishon, that's only on the hair. Then you have this din of Rava, that you have to be madiach beis kmatel. And then, as an extension of that, minhag developed to wash the entire body. Now, what is the etymology or the precise meaning of the term chafifa? Aruch HaShulchan, in the first few se'ifim in our simen, suggests that the term chafifa could actually refer to numerous elements that we just mentioned. That minotaur, there's a requirement of Iyun and Mishmash to inspect and then to touch, to rub parts of the body to make sure there's no chatzitza. And then you have the washing and combing, perhaps, of hair. So that's also subsumed under chafifa. He thinks that might be the precise meaning of chafifa. Lashon chafifa kol el kol advarim. The ikar peyusha de chafifa lashon chichuch, to rub. Goes to Rashi and Brachas Davav and Manalas Michufya. Now you could rub with your hands, you could rub with soap, you could rub with a comb. He thinks, why did Rashi say Dafka comb in Bavakama? The fact that the Gemara there says, Asa Ezra Tiken Chafifa. Originally, there's a requirement of Ian. Along came Ezra, Ezra's Misakin Chafifa. It doesn't say Tiken Nami Chafifa. It doesn't say he added on Chafifa. It says he was Misakin Chafifa, Mashma. That once he's Misakin Chafifa, then there's no more requirement of Ian. Chafifa supersedes Ian. if chafifa is merely rubbing the hair and washing the hair, then how does that supersede Iyun? You could have a knot in the hair that you're not going to get out by washing or rubbing it. Ela must be that chafifa includes using a comb as well. Then it makes sense to say that if using a comb, then there's nothing that chafifa is not going to catch that Iyun would have caught. So he thinks that's why Rashi has to say you need a masreik, you need a comb, because the mashmos is that chafifa supersedes the requirement of Iyun. Rabbi Karp suggests that's on the Rambam. The Rambam in the Gvos, Perek Beis, Halacha Tesayin writes as follows. The Rambam in Perek Beis, the Gvos, Halacha Tesayin. Takanis Ezrahi Shetehei Isha Chofefes Esara V'akar Katipo. Takanis Ezra is you need to do Chatif on the hair, and then you go to the mikvah. And what about Iyun? The Rambam makes no mention of Iyun. Isn't Iyun the din d'oraisa? Well, the Karp suggests, page Kuf Sadi Zayin, maybe the reason the Rambam doesn't mention Iyun is because once you have a takana of chafifa, chafifa includes Iyun, supersedes Iyun. It's assumed that if you're doing chafifa, then you're doing Iyun as well. The extent of that, we'll see as a machlokes achronim that we're only going to get to next time. But the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that the ikker definition of chafifa is rubbing, lashon chichuch. But on some level, it includes both Iyun and the general rinsing as well. Sidri Tara writes in Sifkat and Tess that you see from Tosfos, the Iker Shem Chafifa is on washing the hair, the head with water. Because when the Gemara is referring to rinsing the rest of the water of the body, the Gemara uses the lashon of adacha. That was the main Rav Ravi we just quoted, that a woman should be madicha beis hakmatim. So when you rinse the rest of the body, that's called hadacha. If you're rinsing the hair, that's called chafifa. Rashi knows him in beis. Sounds like chafifa is going more on combing. Nazir chofif in the fast pace. Separating the hairs. Combing the hairs. So even if that's the case, well, halacha, Rashi would probably agree that you require rechitzas harosh as well. Right, the fact that Rashi stresses combing doesn't mean to the exclusion of washing. Presumably Rashi require washing the hair as well. Let's take a look at the Mechaber and Sif Ches for a moment. The Mechaber writes, that if a woman doesn't do Iyun, lo asala tvila, she Iyun aguf hu dvar Torah. Iyun is a requirement min ha-Torah, li'ikuva. If you don't do Iyun, the tvila is no good. Now, how do you fulfill Iyun min ha-Torah? So the Taz writes over here in Sifkat and Dalid, go back a page. The Taz assumes that as long as you're rubbing the hair, then that should fulfill the requirement of Iyun min ha-Torah. You don't need a special checking of the hair. As long as you're doing what's part of chafifa, and you're combing the hair, you're rubbing the hair, you're smoothing the hair, even if you don't visually inspect the hair, that's sufficient Iyun min ha-Torah. Sidri Tara disagrees. Sidri Tara Sifkat and Hey assumes that no, Iyun l'chud and Mishmash l'chud. Even if you're touching the hair, you're combing the hair, you're doing chafifa, you're washing the hair, but if you're not going to look at the hair, then that's not good enough. Now, you can do this two at the same time, he says. You can do Iyun together with chafifa at the same time, but you require both. Badi Yisholchan suggests, Be'ur in page Tzadi Hei, that presumably even according to Sidre Tara, the requirement of Ian in that case, where you do Chafifa anyway, is only Dirabanan. But it's not misaver that after you do Chafifa, you're still going to have a Chatzitza Beroth Seyar, which would constitute a Chatzitza in a Torah. So we're only talking about Dirabanans anyway, so then presumably everyone would have to agree the requirement of Ian once you do Chafifa is only a requirement Mi Dirabanan. According to the way all the Rishonim present it, Chafifa requires Mayim Chamin, Ramban, Perek Tes, Salacha Beis, for example. Chachmas Adam does write, Kufkaf Aleph Aleph, that B'Shas HaKak, if you don't have access to Mayim Chamin, all you have is Mayim Potion, all you have is lukewarm water, then B'Shas HaKak in the Evedom, that you can rely on using Mayim Potion, but Evan agrees that the Lechafila is to use Mayim Chama. Okay, we'll stop here. Next time, we'll just talk a little bit more about the role of Masreik in Chafifa, and then we'll talk about when is the ideal time to perform Chafifa, L'Chafila, and B'di'eved. I'll send out Mar Mekomos on that shortly, B'li Nether. I'm not going to be here on Wednesday.